He is our completeness. We are complete in Him, and that's my message title this morning. But I want to say that there's a world out there that is desperate to be established in Christ. They just don't know that's what they need to be established in. And for the most part, they're looking everywhere but to Christ. How many of you know that people can rob us of our joy? Anybody in that camp know full well that people can rob you of your joy? Paul, in the book of Philippians, was facing problems with the people at Rome as well as people in Philippi. But it was the people in Philippi that concerned him the most, because they were near and dear to his heart. And when Epaphroditus brought this generous gift from the church in Philippi and good news of the church's concern for Paul, he also brought with him the bad news. How many of you ever been with somebody, hey, I got good news and I got bad news? I got good news, I got bad. Just keep the bad news. I just want the good news today, all right? Just give me the good news. But he brought bad news. He brought news of a possible division in the church family there in Philippi. And there was apparently this double threat to the unity of the church. There were those false teachers that were coming from the outside. He lines it out in Philippians chapter 3. And there were in Philippians chapter 4, there were disagreeing members inside the church. Listen, I go back to Acts, because the reason the power of the Holy Spirit fell so profoundly in the early chapters of the book of Acts is because the church was in one mind and one accord. I'm here to tell you this morning that the enemy wants to do everything that he can to bring disruption and to bring discord into the house of God. But I'm telling you, the only way that we can stand against it is to stand against it. To say, no, we're not, I'm not giving ear. Amen. When Euodia and Syntyche were debating, what they were debating about, Paul doesn't really clarify. Maybe they both wanted to be the president of the missionary guild or the choir. I don't know. But Paul knew that some church workers, what some church workers today do not know, and that there is a difference between unity and uniformity. There's a difference between unity and uniformity. True spiritual unity comes from within. It's a matter of your heart. If you just choose that you're going to be a united front, that's the choice that you make. Uniformity is a result of pressure from without. There is pressure to conform. It's why Paul opens this section appealing to the highest possible spiritual motives. And since the believers at Philippi are in Christ, it ought to encourage them to work toward unity and love, not division and rivalry. We're called to be in one mind and one accord, church. We're to stand against division and those kinds of things. And in a gracious way, Paul here is saying to the church, your disagreements reveal that there's a spiritual problem in your fellowship, and it isn't going to be solved by rules or threats. It's going to be solved when your heart is right. When your heart gets right, everything changes. Our heart has to be right with Christ and right with each other. And Paul wanted them to see the basic cause was selfishness, and the cause of selfishness is pride. And the Bible makes it clear that pride goes before destruction. There can be no joy in the life of the Christian that puts himself above others. The secret of joy in spite of circumstance is the single-mindedness. My mind is stayed on Jesus Christ, and because of that, I have joy, unspeakable and full of glory. The secret of joy in spite of people, is a submissive mind. He talks about let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better or more important than themselves in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Turn with me this morning. That's just what Paul was talking about in Philippians, but I want to transition from Philippians into the book of Colossians. So if you'll turn to Colossians chapter 2, and starting in verse 1, and when you get there, if you just stand with me as we read God's Word. Philippians, or Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. For I want you to know what great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance and of understanding, to the knowledge of the mysteries of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ, as you have therefore received Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus rather, the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest any cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principle of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. God, I need you today. I need your anointing, Lord, to communicate the truth of your scripture. Lord, your people need your anointing to receive from you, not from me, but from your Holy Spirit and from your word today. God, I pray that lives will be changed and transformed as we learn how to be a complete in you. Now, Lord, I surrender this message to you. I pray for every preacher in our city today. In fact, in this county, in this state, Lord, I pray that lives would be changed and transformed because they've sat under the anointed teaching and preaching of your word today. God, I praise you for it and give you all the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. So I only have 7 pages of notes this morning, so it shouldn't take very long. Amen. Listen, everything that you need as a believer in Jesus Christ, that you need for salvation, everything that you need, security, wisdom, salvation, spiritual growth, everything that you need is found in the completeness and the fullness of Jesus Christ. You don't have to go look anywhere else. You'll find it all in Jesus. I can tell you this morning that the world promises fullness but leaves you empty. The world promises fullness. If you'll just do this, if you'll just do that, if you just have this car, if you just buy this thing, you're going to be completely satisfied. But that, how many of you know that hasn't played out? It just doesn't. Because Christ alone is He who satisfies. We live in a culture that is obsessed with more. We look at the political sphere of our society and what our Constitution and what our country and our nation was founded on, the principles of God's Word, the basis of God's Word, and yet we see those things being torn down. I personally feel like it's high time that the church begin to change the culture. And the only way the church will ever change the culture is when the church wakes up and says, "Not on my watch." Everybody wants something free. But anything free costs somebody. If I give you this microphone, that is your microphone. You don't have to pay me for it. It's free. But somebody paid for that. Somebody paid for that microphone. That's my point. It may be free to you, but it wasn't free to me. Because somebody paid for it. So nothing is free, but yet everybody wants something free. But they don't realize that sooner or later, the money's going to run out somewhere. But I can tell you this, Christ will never run out. He's all sufficient. Everything you ever need can be found in Christ. You don't ever have to go to Christ and he's like, I'm fresh out of that. He's not out of it because he has a never-ending supply. He alone can satisfy that, but that our culture is obsessed with more. We want more money. We want more success. I want more followers, more education, more experiences, more spirituality. You ever known anybody that's just went to college over and over and over and over and over and they get a degree and another degree? What's the point of having a pile of degrees if you don't ever use one? Get a job! Put it to work, right? They want us to pay their bill. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. This is good preaching. They do. They want that. That's what they want. They want, you know, pay for my tuition and all this kind of stuff. Listen, take one of your degrees and get a job with it and pay your bill. I mean, it's that simple. But we want more education, more experience, more spirituality. People spend their entire life searching for something that will finally satisfy. Solomon searched. Solomon searched. The rich young ruler searched. The woman at the well was searching, and she really didn't even know she was searching. But the Apostle Paul says to the Colossians, stop looking elsewhere. Everything you need is found in Jesus Christ. Everything that you need is found in Christ alone. Even today, there are people who believe Jesus is a good starting point. But they think that they need more. Paul says, no, Christ is enough. I think we need to come to the place in our own lives where we realize Christ is enough. My sufficiency is in Christ alone. Paul says, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you. Paul never had personally met many of those believers in Colossae, and yet he loved them deeply, and he has great concern. Four things that he desired. Number one, that their heart be encouraged. How do you encourage your heart? Through praise and through worship and through the Word. Christ spent time away from all the disciples and everybody that was around him. He made a priority to go and spend time with his Father and to worship. He wanted their heart to be encouraged. He wanted for their lives to be united in love. He wanted their minds to be settled in the truth. Can I tell you, God's Word is the truth? Can I tell you 99.9% of the stuff that you're receiving from the news is not truth? There are elements of truth, but it's not all truth. God's Word is all truth. Our mind needs to be settled in truth, and our faith needs to mature. Our faith needs to mature. Paul wasn't concerned merely that they attended church. Hello. Paul wasn't concerned that they just merely attended church. Paul wanted them to know Christ deeply. Paul wanted them to leave having experienced something of revelation, something that will last them through the night and into the next day and to the next time that they came together. As a parent, you don't simply want your children to be alive. You want them healthy. You want them to be growing. You want them to mature. You want them to be protected. I find it, and I'm not trying to be political, but I find it extremely interesting that people that are today running for office, highest levels of office in our government, are just now moving out of their mom's basement. Their parents are paying off their credit card debt, and yet they want to rule our lives. They want to be a part of the management of our country. They can't even manage the basement. They can't run a checking account. But they want to run our country. I'm not telling you vote Republican or Democrat or Independent. I'm telling you to vote Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm telling you to vote against what God said in His Word. Because our country is going to hell in a handbasket. And the church has to rise up. And the enemy gets us bickering and bellyaching with one another when we ought to be coming against the enemy. That's what Paul's heart is. Paul's heart was for the church in Colossae to grow and to be healthy and to mature and to be protected. A pastor's greatest desire is not merely to fill the pews. It's that you would know Christ better. I'm trying to pour into people's life so that they can take God's word outside of these walls and tell somebody what Jesus did for you. That's as simple. That is the simplicity of discipleship. What is a disciple? Do I have to sit in a class? It wouldn't hurt, but that's not what it is. To be a disciple is to tell somebody what Christ did in your life. If you're driving around an old Conestoga wagon, somebody's going to come and say, "What's the deal with the wagon? Let me tell you about the wagon. Jesus gave me this wagon. Jesus, all this stuff, and it opens doors." You just tell them what Jesus done. You don't have to be a theologian in God's Word. You just got to know what God did for you. What the impact did He make in my life? After 6 hours sitting on my back porch, something happened in your life. Because He knows my story. We grew up together. He knows the change that's happening. Am I perfect? God knows I'm not. But I'm working on it. I'm working on wonderful. That ain't working for me either. But when God comes into your life and takes over, things begin to change. Verse 3 says, "In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Paul doesn't say that there's some wisdom. He doesn't say even that there's most wisdom. He says all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. The world says wisdom comes through philosophy. Comes through philosophy. The world says it comes through psychology. Again, we live in a culture where when things are not going well, we go and see a psychologist. What about going to God's Word? What about worshiping God? It's not philosophy. It's not psychology. It's, you ever been around somebody that just needed to discover themselves? I just need to find myself. Go look in the mirror. There you are. Self-discovery. The world says wisdom comes through human achievement. Paul says it's all found in Christ Jesus. I am His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's the same thing. It applies to you. If you need to find self-discovery, find it in Jesus Christ. Look at verses 4 through 8. "Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I'm absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the Spirit, rejoicing to see your good works." or to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. How many of you know you got to be steadfast in your faith? At some point, we got to say, no, I'm standing in faith. I'm not moving. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. How did you receive Him? You received Him freely. Walk in Him freely. Don't get caught up. You're rooted and built up and established in faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principle of the world, and not according to Christ. Listen, a person with an experience is never at the mercy of someone with an argument. Some of you are writing that down. It's true. A person that has experienced Christ, philosophy, psychology, all of those kinds of things will never dissuade you because you have experienced Jesus Christ. I remember a young lady in our youth group. I wasn't even in ministry. I was the bus driver. Amen. That's a spiritual event right there. If you've ever been a bus driver for a youth group, that's, you better be prayed up. You better learn how to touch Jesus, because they are going to get under your skin. But this young lady, she just wouldn't accept Jesus. And so one night after church, I said, why don't you just accept Jesus? Well, because I want to check out, you know, Buddha and Buddhism and Muhammad and this and that and the other thing. And I said, why don't you just make me a deal? You want to make a deal? And she goes, okay. And I said, why don't you do this? I said, why don't you just with your whole heart tonight accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and then see how much after that you want to chase after these other things. Amen. And she said, okay. And so I prayed with her right there, real spiritual moment. I didn't know how to pray real good. I just said, Lord, and I just led her in the simplest prayer. And she received it. She confessed herself before the Lord. The Lord changed her. And today, I don't even know where she's at anymore, but I know she went to Bible college. I know she became a licensed and ordained minister of the gospel and is teaching young people wherever she's at. That's the last time I mean, because she made a decision. Something happened. She experienced Christ in that moment. And when you experience that, everything changes. All bets are off, if you want to use that kind of terminology. But Paul changes here from encouragement to warning. He says, lest anyone should deceive you. How many of you know this? Truth always has an enemy. Truth always has an enemy. But how many of you also know this? Truth never changes. And truth doesn't have to be defended, because it's truth. My dad was not a Christian. He was not saved until actually on his deathbed. He gave his life to the Lord. But he was an intelligent. He was sharp. He was a smart guy. My dad could add four columns of math at the same time in his head. He was crazy good with numbers. I did not inherit that. But my dad would say stuff to me like, listen, there's no point in arguing. Oh. He said, because I'll tell you why. Because you're either right or you're wrong. And if you're right, you're not going to convince somebody by arguing that you're right. And if you're wrong, you need to just shut up anyway. I mean, that's my dad. That's profound wisdom. He was like that, wasn't he, Tim? I mean, that's who he was. And you know what? It's true. It's true. If you're right and you know you're right, it is what it is. False teaching. False teaching rarely announces itself. That's why I do my best to stay as close to the Word of God as I possibly can. Because I can't go wrong. I won't go wrong by talking about the things of God. False teaching rarely announces itself. How many of you know counterfeit money looks real? Counterfeit money looks real. You know how they train you to detect counterfeit money? By showing you real money. That's what I've been told. By showing you real money. I'm not good enough to figure it out, but listen. Counterfeit money looks real, but it's a cheap knockoff. Counterfeit doctrine sounds biblical. Go back and look at what the enemy tempted Jesus with in the wilderness. He tempted him with the word. But it was skewed just a little bit, twisted, out of context. Satan has never needed to invent a new lie. He simply repackages the old ones. And I want you to notice what Paul warns against. Three things he warns against, and I'm just going to list these off and then I'll go back and talk about them. But he lists off deceptive words in verse 4. He talks about empty philosophy in verse 8. And he talks about human tradition. And so in the deceptive words, how many of you have been around somebody that's a smooth talker? Smooth talker, smooth, good presentation, charismatic person. But ask yourself this question: does this point me to Christ? Is what I'm saying pointing people to Christ? Deceptive words, you got to think about it. Empty philosophy in verse 8. He says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. See, Paul's not condemning here education. He's condemning the humanistic ideas that replace God's truth. That's why it's important that we know God's Word. Because if we don't know God's Word, somebody will say, this is what God's Word says. How many of you know people will say this? The Bible says that cleanliness is next to godliness. Show me that. Because it ain't in there. But we thought it's in there, but we've never took the time to go and find out. There's all kinds of things that people say is Bible, but it's not Bible. It sounds Bible, but it ain't Bible. And if it's not Bible, it's not truth. God calls us to be alert and to listen and to be looking for empty philosophies. Many philosophies sound attractive because they appeal to pride. But God's Word calls us to humility. Let's look at human traditions. Religion, human tradition is like religion without Christ. I remember reading a story one time around Easter, and mom would put a ham in the oven, and she would cut both ends of it off. And one day the daughter says, "Mom, why do you cut both ends off of the ham?" She said, "Because Grandma did." Well, why did Grandma cut both ends off the ham? I don't know. Let's go ask her. Grandma just happened to be there. And so they went and asked Grandma, "Grandma, why did you cut both ends off the ham?" Grandma said, "Because my oven was small and the ham I had wouldn't fit in the oven, so I had to cut both ends." And they've been cutting the ends off the ham ever since because of what Grandma did years ago. That's a tradition. I hope they didn't throw those ham ends away. You know what I'm saying? I'm just bring them to the potluck. All right? Human traditions, religion without Christ, church membership without salvation, ritual without relationship. If we're just coming to church and singing songs, we're just singing songs. It needs to come from our heart. A lot of people trust baptism. They trust in communion. They trust church attendance. They trust in good works instead of Jesus. They come to church. Listen, coming to church won't make you any more a Christian than sitting in a garage will make you an automobile. There's got to be a transformation in your heart. You got to have a change in your heart. Religion can't save you. Only Christ does. Imagine dying of thirst while you're sitting beside a beautiful painted picture of water. I mean, it looks convincing, doesn't it? But it can't satisfy you. It can't satisfy. The world's religion and philosophies resemble that very picture, but I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus is the living water. He is the living water. Come unto me, all you who are thirst, and I will give you drink. He says in verse 9, for in Him, in who? In Christ. Remember, I'm talking about the completeness. Our completeness is in Christ. He says this, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ was the exact representation of the Father and of the Spirit and of the Son. He came and He exemplified. This is one of the most strongest verses in Scripture concerning the deity of Jesus Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness. There was nothing lacking. Nothing lacking. He wasn't partly God. He wasn't partly God. He wasn't a created being. He wasn't merely a prophet. He is fully God. And in Him, you can be complete. Everything that makes God God dwells in Jesus. Everything. That's why only Jesus was qualified to die for you and I. Only God can pay an infinite debt. We used to sing years ago an old song, He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Jesus died to pay my debt. That's what redemption, church, is all about. You've been redeemed. You are dead, but He has made you alive in Christ Jesus. That's what Jesus does. How can He do that? He can do that because the fullness of God is in Him. It dwells in Him, and He's wanting to pull some of that out of you. He's wanting you to get so full of the Spirit of God that it oozes out. You don't get filled with the Spirit so that you're just really full. You get filled with the Spirit so some of it can leak out. Only God could pay an infinite debt. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Him, and the Word was God. That's what in John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says that the Word became flesh. It's talking about Jesus. In John chapter 10 and verse 30, He said, and I and my Father are one. I'm just giving you scriptural cross-reference that shows you that God and Jesus are one. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, Jesus is declared the express image of His person is in Christ Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, He says that He is the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, one day every knee is going to bow. One day every tongue is going to confess, saved or not saved, it's going to happen, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Imagine trying to plug your house in when the power goes off and you plug your house into a flashlight battery. Newsflash, ain't going to work. Not going to work. Why? Not enough power. Not enough power. Now imagine plugging your house into the Hoover Dam. You just blew every circuit in your house because there's too much power. Christ has all the power. He possesses unlimited power. And you, the crazy thing is you and I can tap into that power. We can tap into that power. That power is available. In fact, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, I have endued you with power. I have filled you. I have made a way for you to have all that power. But you ain't got, you're just drunk. We're not drunk as you suppose. We're just filled with the Holy Ghost. We have been endued with power. And when you get endued with His power, you're going to probably act different. You're going to probably sound different. God willing, you'll respond different. This is the climax. You and I are complete in Him. Maybe you're asking yourself, well, how am I complete? I'm glad you asked. You are complete in forgiveness. You are complete. There is no condemnation. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I'm complete. In forgiveness, I'm complete in acceptance. Do you know you don't have to struggle to be accepted in His family? You don't have to struggle. I don't know about some of you, but there have been times in my life when I've struggled with acceptance. I spent all of my childhood and my young adult years trying to please my dad. And that never happened. And until he was on his deathbed. But in Christ, church, I'm accepted. With all my scars, with all my flaws, with all of my imperfections, with all of my shortcomings, I am accepted by God. Not because I'm good. But because Jesus is righteous. I'm accepted. I'm complete in forgiveness, in acceptance, and in identity. My identity is no longer that guy. My identity, when the world asks, who am I? As a Christian, I already know I'm a child of God. Hey, I'm a joint heir with Jesus. My Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm a joint heir. I'm a citizen. There's being prepared for me a place right now in heaven. So in acceptance, in identity, and in purpose, I no longer live for ourselves, but we live for Christ. Suppose somebody give you a brand new truck. It's completely paid for. And the church said, amen. It's got every option available. I mean, it will greet you when you open the door, pour you a coffee, whatever. It's every option included. But every day, you keep trying to buy parts that you already own. We chuckle, but the reality is, lots of Christians live that way, trying to earn what Christ has already paid for. Remember, He said it's finished. I love that story of Golgotha that day when they're on the crosses and the three of them are there and the one criminal on the cross, you know, says, "Hey, remember me. Remember me." The other one's over there just running his mouth. The other one says, "Hey, remember me." Jesus says, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." And the day comes, he dies, the day comes to a close, and he's at the pearly gates. And let's just, for the sake of tradition, say St. Peter's there at the gate. And he says, what have you been baptized? No. You know, did you attend church regularly? No. Did you pay tithes? No. Well, then what qualifies you to enter into heaven? He said, "Really, I got nothing, but the man on the middle cross said I could come. And so I'm here." Amen. When Jesus says it's okay, I am secure in Christ. I know who I am. I'm a citizen. I have security. Nothing can separate us from the power of God. Nothing. I have a purpose. I no longer live for myself. I live for Christ. Isn't that amazing? Quit trying to earn what Jesus has already provided for you and I. We need to walk in it. Paul says you already have everything you need in Christ. Where are you looking for fulfillment, church? You're looking in your career? Your career is going to, they will replace you just like that. How many of you have already experienced that? I mean, at the... Money? Are you looking for fulfillment in money? It will never satisfy you. Never. Relationships? Politics? Here we go again. How about this one? Religion. Trying to find fulfillment in religion? How about entertainment? None of these things will ever replace Jesus. Only Christ satisfies. Many people know about Jesus, but do they know Jesus? Church attendance can't save you. Good morals can't save you. Family heritage cannot save you. Just because grandma and grandpa was good preachers in the church doesn't mean you're going to make heaven. Someday, you're going to have to make a decision on your own. Christ died on the cross. He shed his blood. He bore the stripes for your healing. He died. They buried him, spent 3 days, and on the third day, he rose from the grave. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. They no longer have control. He died on the cross. He took your place. He rose again. And today, I'm telling you, he is here to offer you and I forgiveness and eternal life. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today's your day. I would encourage you strongly, don't go another minute without knowing Jesus Christ, without saying, "God, I don't know what it's all about. I don't even know how to do it, but I want to experience you. I want you to come into my heart, Lord. I want to be changed. I've been searching everywhere, and I can't find fulfillment, but the pastor says I can find fulfillment in you. So, Lord, help me with that." Today, you can become complete. Let me challenge you as a believer. Altar call, I usually just talk to those that are possibly not saved or in what we would consider a backslidden state, not following the Lord and want to rededicate and recommit. But I want to talk to believers. I want to ask you, are you living as though Christ is enough? Are we living our life as though Christ is enough? Or are you still searching for satisfaction somewhere? Are you still looking for that thing to bring you that satisfaction? I want to encourage you this morning to return to Him. to grow deeper in Him, to walk daily with Him, to stand firmly upon Him, because everything that God wants for your life begins and ends with Jesus Christ. You won't find it on your TV. You won't find it in your career. You probably won't even find it up at the lake or on a mountaintop somewhere. It's found in the person of Jesus Christ. The world offers substitutes. It leaves us empty. Religion offers rituals that leave us weary. Ah, church, but we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who offers Himself, the author and the finisher of our faith. And in Him, we are completely full. Bow your heads with me. Lord, I've done my best to hear from You, to present Your Word with simplicity, God, that the youngest child to the oldest senior will be able to receive from You today. And this morning, Lord, I ask You loose Your Holy Spirit in this place. And I pray, God, right now that You would begin to convict hearts from complacency, from just being satisfied with the norm. Because, Lord, You've called us to be so much more than just the norm. You've called us to set the example. You've called us to come to You. You've called us to be born again. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, people praying all around this room this morning, I pray right now, Father God, that You would begin to compel them. Holy Spirit, Your Word says that unless the Spirit draws them, no man can come to Christ. Lord, I'm asking You right now to begin to draw. Whether you're watching this morning by way of the internet or in this room, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit would draw you to a place of repentance. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray with you. I pray that today you will accept Jesus. You'll never regret it. Just like the young lady that I talked about. Once she settled the issue, there wasn't an issue anymore. Because you did exactly what you said. You became very real to her. And you'll become very real to us. And so if you're here today and you say, Pastor, would you just pray for me? I've never accepted the Lord, but I want to today. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Anybody at all? Say, Preacher, that's me. Anybody at all? Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. Maybe you're here today and you accepted the Lord at some point of your life, but you drifted. You wandered. And today, you recognize that I'm far away from where God wants me to be, but if He'd have me back one more time, God, I'll do my best again. I know I said I'd do my best last time, but I'm saying it again. I'll do my best to follow You, Lord. If You give me one more chance, I'm here to tell You that He will give you another chance. He'll give you chances over and over and over. So if that's you today and you say, Pastor, I've wandered from the Lord and wandered from the flock, but I'm coming back this morning. If that's you and you want to receive Jesus brand new, fresh and new today, if you just slip your hand up, I want to pray with you as well. If you're watching by way of the internet, I pray that you would just write us a little note there and they will recognize it and they will see it. If that's you, raise your hand. Anybody at all? Yes, I see your hand. You can put it down. Anybody else? Say, yep, I see your hand and I see your hand. Anybody else today? Yep. Anybody else? Anybody else? Listen, if you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to get up and come right now because I want to pray with you. Come on. Come on. Come on, right here. Come on. Come on. Hi, Josie. Hi, sweetheart. Hey, buddy. Got one more coming. Bless you, buddy. Bless you, man. Bless you. Right there. Right there. Listen. You can't, listen, look right at me. You can't do anything about yesterday. You can't even do anything about this morning. But you can do something about today from here on. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. And God wants to do something in you that is going to be transformative, but we have to choose to follow Him and to die to ourselves. Christ died physically, gave His life, shed His blood on the cross for us that day. It cost God His Son to redeem you and I. He loves you that much. You have that kind of value in your life. Jay, you have an opportunity to share the love of Jesus almost statewide in your travels. If not through words, just through your presence. I am so full of Jesus that when mosquitoes bite me, they fly away singing Power in the Blood. Amen. Sweetheart, your life is just starting. You've got all of it ahead of you. And I believe that God wants to do something in your life that will not only transform your life, but the life of those that are around you, because they see a difference in you. I see a difference in you. Christ sees a difference in you. But he wants you to know this morning, you haven't blown it too bad. There's still time, and today's your day. If you just pray this prayer, say, Dear Lord, I thank you for dying in my place, for shedding your blood and washing me white as snow. Forgive me, redeem me, and restore me. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I will serve you from this day forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me do something that I just feel right now in my spirit to do. Listen. Look at me. There's a devil that hates you. You know that? Yeah, he hates you bad. He doesn't like anything about you. He really doesn't like that you're here today. But this oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And I'm praying right now, Jay, that you walk out of this place today changed and transformed. That the enemy won't have any power over your life ever again. The only power he has is what we give him. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's the only power that he has. So church, stretch your hands this way. Father, I thank you for these right now. And I ask you, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, that you would endue them, that you would shield them, that Lord, that you would, Lord, I just plead the blood of Jesus over their mind, soul, spirit, body, will, over their very life, God. Lord, take these hearts that have been hardened, Lord, and soften them, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. God, I pray that you would take the brokenness of these hearts and knit them back together. Lord, that they would follow you all the days of their life. Lord, that you would get glory and honor because of the life that they have chosen in you. Now, Lord, I thank you for it. I pray absolute transformation. God, let them realize that they're redeemed. They are born again. The old things pass away. Behold, all things become new in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Come on, church. Hey, Bob, can you just come up here for a minute? Yeah. Yeah, I want you to stretch your hands towards Bob. His precious wife, as we've been praying and praying and praying for her. And man, she's having a hard time. She's having a hard time. Just turned 80. And Bob's believing for 85. And so this morning I just want to anoint him with oil. And I want to pray that God will grant you the desire of your heart. Lord, you got a warrior standing here. He's been a faithful soldier in your army for all these years. You've used him in miraculous ways, God. I've heard the stories of what you've done through him and through the ministries that he's been involved in. And God, this morning, he just simply comes to you and he says, would you just touch Janice again? Restore her. God, restore Bob. Give him strength, Lord, as he ministers to her, as he meets her needs. Lord, we just lift him to you right now. I plead the blood of Jesus over his mind, soul, spirit, body, will, over his very life, that out of his belly would flow rivers of living water, O God. Lord, that when he goes back to the house this morning, he would carry with him so much of the presence and the Spirit of God that it would just ooze out of him and that healing would just jump all over Janice. Lord, let it happen. Let your Shekinah glory fill that house right now in Jesus' name. Lord, even before he gets home, go before him and prepare the way. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Listen, if you have a prayer need, if you have something you need someone to pray with you about, these altars are open. Amen. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for lives that have been changed. We thank you for your presence and your power in this place. I thank you, God, that you said your word would never return void, and again today it has not. It has touched hearts and lives, and Lord, I give you all the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name right now, Lord. You be glorified. You be exalted. Lord, you do the work in your people, Lord, to cause us to be all you've created us to be. And I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, thanks for joining us this morning by way of the internet. God bless you. If you have any needs, just send us a little note in the comments. We'll be praying for that. And we hope to see you again tonight. God bless you and have a great day.